Hey, welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast. This is Trent, and I'm here with Alan. And it's 2020. We are into...
Oh, my goodness.
...new decade. We're in the roaring 20s. Did you ever want to live in the 20s? I thought that would be an awesome time to live.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. They dressed cool. They had a good time. Yeah.
They rode around in cool cars and had Tommy guns. I don't know what you could ask for.
And we're back. I mean, we're back to the 20s. So
there you go. Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about casting a vision, communicating a vision. How do we do that for our church family, as church pastors, church leaders? How do we do that? How do we maintain that? And so Alan, he's the master storyteller. And so Alan, share with us how that came to mind and how do we do that?
Well, Trent, I have a kind of a funny story that always reminds me of vision. When Rochelle and I were contemplating a move to Colorado to become church planters, we had flown out here. We'd never been to Denver. Certainly had never flown in and experienced everything you experienced. And so we had rented a car and we were ready to drive all over Denver, looking around at opportunities for church planting. And anyway, we landed and, you know, we're all excited and we get on the rental car shuttle to go pick up our rental car. And, you know, there's probably 10 or 15 couples in this rental car bus all, you know, waiting to get their vehicle or whatever. And we go into this rental car area. And I guess we were the first stop. We had already had our reservation. They were dropping you off directly at your car. And we're the first stop. And he pulls over. And I'm thinking, I think this is us, but he hasn't said anything. And then he looks right at me and he goes, "Need a map?" And of course, this is before cell phones and all this stuff. And I just look at him. I'm like, he just insulted me. I'm not moving fast enough for this guy. I'm like, what a jerk, you know? And I'm like really mad. And Rochelle's just like, I can't believe he just said that. And all this kind of thing. And we're just fuming. And so I said, no, I don't need a map. And then he looks at the next person. Need a map? Yeah, I'll take one. And everyone takes a map but me. And I'm thinking, but I wanted a map. I thought he was being rude. I really wanted a map. I wanted to be able to see Denver while we were driving around. And so for our young listeners, there are these maps and there are these things that fold up. And anyway, we won't go there. But
yeah.
You know, whenever I think of that story, I think about the need for a map and how important it is to know where you're going. And vision is destination. When you think about vision and what that is, vision is where you want to go, but you need a map to get there. And so that's what we wanted to talk to you about a little bit today. We talk a lot about vision, and Trent and I will tell you that we think most leaders are pretty strong on vision, but we're not always good on keeping the vision in front of people. And then there are leaders who really aren't, who aren't as strong in that vision area as others. And so, you know, there's the kind of the first question where all this begins is visioning natural or is it unnatural to you? When did you realize that you were more visionary, Trent?
Well, I'm not sure. It's been a long time ago. I think, you know, I like to plan ahead. I like to look into the, you know, future and kind of guide our folks toward a goal. But, you know, as you're telling your story, Alan, I'm thinking there are probably times in my life when I was more like the bus driver and I may have had something to communicate, but I wasn't good at it. And, then there have probably been times when I've been like you and Rochelle on the bus, you know, being frustrated and offended that, you know, somebody, I wasn't catching the communication. So, I'm still working on this. I want to be a better communicator of vision all the time. How about you?
Well, you know, I think for me, it kind of began when I was a young pastor. I always found myself ahead of where I wanted to be. I was always two steps ahead of in my mind. I could see what needed to happen next, or I recognized I could see the big picture. And, you know, one of the things I've realized with, like, in working with Luke, and Luke and I have been together for quite some time now, is that that's one of the things that he notices in me too, is that sometimes I get so far out in front that I forget what I was just trying to encourage people to do. And so vision is a really important thing. And so for visionaries, we'll tend to run off without people. But if you're not strong on vision, you will tend to not motivate people to move forward. And we need each other. We certainly balance each other. So how do you know if it's natural or unnatural to you? There's some questions I think you can ask yourself that'll help you out a little bit. And one of those is this: are you more about the destination or how to get there?
That's a good question. And, you know, like you said, seeing in yourself the what should come next. And sometimes people get so caught up in the right now and the taking day to day or even a rut kind of thing that they aren't looking down the road. And so if you're all about the day to day, you may not be, you know, good at recognizing or communicating even a vision into the future of how where to lead someone.
Yeah, one of the ways you'll know that, I'll give you an example. When we lived in Elizabeth and in our old house, people would forever say, "Now, how do I get to your house?" And I could tell them turns, and but I could never remember my street names. For 10 years, I never learned my street names good enough to be able to tell people how to get there. But I knew where it was. I could kind of tell people turn, you know, make a left, a right. And, you know, my house is in the back right corner there. But I could never remember the street names. My wife would always have to give them the street names because I knew the destination, but I couldn't remember how to get there. The other question is similar. It's like, do you see things others cannot see yet? You know, are you seeing things that that others are a little slower to get? And that's just true. Visionaries see it before others see it.
Yeah, Alan, I can see, as you're saying that, I can picture that in myself and the different places of ministry that we've been in, especially when it came to buildings and expanding our ministries. I was always the guy that's like, well, can't you see how this would help us if we added on to this building or we did this or, you know? And for the most part, I don't think people are visionaries like that. And so we have to, you know, kind of keep that in mind that we're seeing and looking at something that other people aren't seeing yet. And so that is a good question. If you're seeing those things, keep in mind, not everybody else is.
And that last question falls along those lines of something I already mentioned, but that tendency to run ahead of everyone else. Are you doing that? If you tend to do that, you know, you're probably a natural visionary. But if you're not strong in vision, or you're not a visionary, or you're kind of younger in casting vision, you really need to get help to kind of flush things out and to get people to help you out. And you can look for people who are strong in that area. Maybe it's an entrepreneur or business leader, someone you know, and you see that they're always out there. They can see everything, and you just need to put yourself around them and say, can you help me, you know, flush this out? Can you help me see what I'm not seeing?
Well, and as you're saying that, Alan, it all, for me, it comes back to communication. You may be a visionary. You may be able to see something, a goal that you want to lead your church into the future toward, but you've got to be able to communicate it in a way that's got some handles to it. That so that people can grab hold and say, yeah, I see, I understand, I want to go there. And so being able to, if you're not good at communication, you're going to need to work on that. You're going to need to think about the wordsmithing of what words you want to use that will help your people understand. And each one of our churches are different. Because we have people with different cultures, different backgrounds, different work environments, different education backgrounds. And so you're going to have to adjust that wording to help them to have a handle to grasp to and say, yes, I want to go alongside. I want to go on this trip.
Well, and I'll give you a practical example of that, because this is what does it take for visioning to be successful? And the first thing, like you said, is to communicate it clearly. When I came to Elizabeth as pastor, there's a really popular worship song called "You're the God of This City." Mm-hmm. Yep. Irrelevant in my context.
Right.
Because we were in a city. We're a rural town.
Yeah.
And that could not be part of my vision. You know, if I talk about the city and all that God wants to do in our city, I'm going to lose a lot of people because I'm not in a city context. And so you have to understand your context and little subtleties between city and town. Is it really that big of a difference? Well, not really, but it is to the people who live there.
Right.
You have to be careful. You have to be careful with your words. And, you know, you mentioned communicate, and that really is probably the first important area of success that we have to do is we have to keep it clear. But to do that, we also have to keep that final destination in view. And where is it that we're trying to go? And for me, my thing is I like to move on to the next thing. And that's not helpful to people when you're trying to get them someplace.
Yeah, you've got to make sure that it's kind of like herding sheep. You've got to make sure that, you know, just like Jesus said, you know, he'd leave the 99 to go get the one. Sometimes there's one that's a straggler back behind that's not catching up. And you've got to make sure that everybody is still on board, that they're all, you know, walking together toward that. So you've got to help them to, you know, constantly communicating that, keeping that vision. Keep drawing that picture with your words of where we're going. Where are we going? How are we going to get there? Keep talking to them.
Yeah, you said keep talking to them. That's kind of another thing, isn't it? We have to communicate the vision constantly.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it's easy for us to do that kind of thing in January, right? But then we get caught up in other stuff. And typically visionaries tend to be like you and I, Alan, we do that and then we move on to the next thing and we move on to the next thing. And we can't do that. If we've got a vision that we want to take people to, we've got to keep throughout the year, you know, mentioning that thing, keeping it in front of them. I know that you just recently got some banners for your church to go with your vision for 2020 and your words that you want to point people to. So it's our words, but that's so much more. You've got to have it in front of them all the time.
And it's a big deal to me to be mindful of this, that I can't move on so fast, that I've got to take the full year to be there. I may already in my mind have where I'm going to go in 2021 or things like that, but I need to keep the vision for 2020 in front of the people. And that's just a hugely important concept. And that's not an easy one for me. That's actually a huge struggle because I'm a move into new things kind of guy. I like that.
Yeah.
I like change. I like to move on to new things and create new ideas.
I think that a lot of us as leaders, we are, this sounds weird, but we're somewhat ADD, you know, we're bouncing around because we are somewhat visionary. We're always looking forward. And we need to be reminded to look around right now, because you're not a leader if nobody's following you. And you have to be looking and see who's still with you. You know, if you've lost your herd somewhere along the way, you're not doing a great job of leading. You've got to make sure that you're staying with the herd, keep talking to them and helping them to consistently see that. And part of that is the next thing I think that you've written down here, Alan, in our notes is that it's important to evaluate that, evaluate the vision, and not just once, but throughout the process. And that doesn't mean that you change the vision, I don't think, but I think that it means that you evaluate how you're getting your people to that point.
Right. Is it compelling? Are people catching what you're saying? Are they behind it? You know, are they hearing you? That those things are so important. And you know, one of the things that we don't like to do as pastors is evaluate ourselves a lot of the times, because it's hard. It's like listening to your own voice. You've got to get used to the fact that to you sound different when you hear yourself than when you listen to a recording. It's just funny that way. And we have to get used to that. That's one of the things that was the hardest part about editing our podcast, was listening to my own voice. You know, you sound just like you. When I listen to me, I don't sound like me.
Well, I would say the same thing. I was like, okay, Alan, yeah, you sound just like Alan, but I don't like the sound of my voice in recording. So yeah, you're exactly right. Getting used to hearing that is really different.
And evaluating our vision is the same thing, because vision is very personal. It is one of the things in a church. You can't delegate that to someone else. As pastors, if you're a pastor and the lead pastor of a church, you are the caretaker of the vision, and no one else can have that. No one else should have that. That is kind of who you are and what you do. And you've got to evaluate whether or not people are getting it, because if they're not getting it, it probably means they're not following you. And that's important. So make sure that we're doing that.
Well, Alan, and you said something then that it's very personal. Vision is very personal, and I would agree. And because of that, the evaluation of others on our vision sometimes makes us very offended, and we get mad in a hurry. I've done this. Oh my gosh, I've got hoof and mouth disease, athlete's tongue, because I have said things that I've gotten mad because somebody else was evaluating or disagreeing with my vision. And that was immaturity on my part. But because it is very personal, we do have to watch out and control ourselves from getting offended or getting mad because somebody is questioning. And questions aren't always bad, right, Alan? I mean, sometimes they help us to draw the picture clear.
The first thing, if I could tell the younger me anything, would be, don't get so easily offended. Listen to the heart behind the complaint. Sometimes a complaint's not a complaint. Sometimes it's an assist to us. If we will listen sometimes and not get so upset when someone has something to say, we might recognize the grain of truth that they've said, even if they don't say it well, that there's something in there that we say, you know what, I could communicate that better. I could do that better. I can be better in that area. And it would be good to not be so easily offended when those things happen.
Well said.
That's easier said than done.
Yeah, no. Yeah, because it's like, that's my baby, you know. Don't be talking bad about my baby, you know.
No doubt.
It's hard not to do that, but you'll be wiser than Alan and I if you'll be careful and hold your tongue when you need to listen. Gosh, if I could, just like you said, Alan, if I could tell our younger selves something and hammer it in, is listen, listen, listen more than you speak. It would get you farther down the road for sure.
Yeah, we'll save our speaking for the podcast, right?
There you go.
There we go. So the other thing, then, I think this is really important, Trent, because I know we have both talked about this and we noticed this, that visioning has a shorter shelf life than it used to have. Mm. I mean, that's just our society. You know, you can't have a 5-year vision campaign anymore. In 5 years, the look of your church has changed. Everything has changed so much. Technology's changed. Fad words have changed. Everything's changed so fast. You can't say it the same way for long, long, long periods of time.
Yeah. And our folks in our churches are used to change happening all the time. I mean, they change channels, you know, and it used to be you didn't change channels very much because you had to get up from your recliner to go change the channel, right? But now we change channels, you know, hundreds of times during the middle of a show, 30-minute show. And so we're used to change. We're used to having multiple things that we're watching, multiple things that we're doing. So you're right. Yeah, 5 years. Oh, my gosh, that's like forever. And so now we've got to, you know, focus on, so do we take a, I don't know, Alan, is like a 1 year seems like for us normal because it's a normal set period, but there are some things that are even shorter than that, wouldn't you say?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I think one of the areas that I think you see that most is in the area of stewardship. I think it's really hard. You know, a lot of churches might want to do some kind of campaign for a certain thing. Maybe you're buying a new ministry vehicle, you know, a bus or van or something like that, or you're doing something for your building and you're trying to raise money. And it used to be that a 3 to 5 year campaign was a normal thing. Okay, you know, we're going to ask everyone to make a commitment for 3 years. You really can't do that today. People are not as anxious to be a part of that. And I've seen more and more churches doing, we're just going to do a 3 month campaign. We're going to see what we can do here. And mm-hmm. next year we'll do another three month campaign. And over the course of 3 years, they got to that same spot they would have gotten years ago, but they just do it differently. And I think you have to think differently that way. People don't have the same attention span. Their passions don't last in the same areas as long. And you have to think about the shelf life of your vision. It's just not as long as it used to be.
That's true. Alan, as you're saying that, an example that comes to mind, the church that Dana and I went to when we were in seminary, you know, they were starting a building campaign and it was going to be one of those 5 year deals. And they had a big banquet and all that stuff but half the church was made up of seminary students. So it didn't matter what commitments were made. Half the church was going to turn over in, you know, the course of 3 to 4 years. So it took them forever to get to the point where they could actually build. But, you know, and they were ahead of the game. That was years ago. But that was kind of a precursor because of their culture. And so as we're talking about this, you got to think about the culture of your church. You know, if you're a university church where you have a lot of college kids, yeah, you're going to have to do a semester push of something. You know, that may be you're pushing your vision for a semester.
Definitely.
Depends on the culture of your church.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that one up. And, you know, here's one of the other things. Let others help you in the details of getting you where you want to go. Don't hog it. Again, it's personal. But you've got to let others fall in love with the vision. Let others share stories about the vision and what it means to them. And the more people that can help you in that, and if, again, like me, I'm not a detail person. So to get some people to help me with details is a huge benefit. So let others help in the planning. Let others help in the communicating. Let others share it with you. And you'll be stronger for it.
And Alan, let me ask you this question. When you have a vision, you know, as you're, say, thinking about your 2020 vision for your church, were there people that you shared that with beforehand, before you presented it to the whole church?
Yes. I definitely started with my staff, and they really helped. And then I started trying to envision that and communicate some of that. And I got tons of input on this art concept that I wanted to have, because I wanted to plaster this all over the church. And I remember a Wednesday morning, had a lot of people up at the church, and that idea changed about six different times that day. But what came out was a whole lot better as a result of it. But it's important to pass that on and to get others who can buy into that. And if you have a staff, your staff's got to buy in, because they're going to be ones you want them communicating this. You want their ministry areas sharing in that mentality. So it is important. I do think there's one thing we didn't mention, and Trent, I think this is so important. And you and I were talking about how you kind of get to that place, but vision is great in a church, but really our vision is all the same. We have one major command, and that's to make disciples. The vision is just that it looks different in every church. The way we make disciples is a little bit different at Creekside than the way it is at Comanche Patterson Avenue. It's just we go about it a little bit differently because the culture is a little bit different. The people are bit different, and we communicate a little differently. But it's still the same. It's still the same vision, and that vision should be make disciples. It's not about having a great choir. It's not about having a great worship ministry or being the church that's the coolest in town. It's about making disciples.
You're absolutely right, Alan. And it's because we have one Lord. You know, Jesus is Lord. And so everything that we do is supposed to be aiming at helping other people come to know him. And, you know, Matthew 28:18-20, that we're going to, because he has authority, all authority has been given to him, then we're going to do everything we can to teach every other person we come in contact with more about him, helping them to become followers of him. So you're absolutely right, Alan. Everything that we do needs to point to Christ, and certainly not to ourselves.
And sometimes the reality is you need some outside help to see if you're doing that effectively, or to maybe some help trying to communicate all these things and you don't know where to turn. Well, Trent, I would like you to know that we would love to come alongside you and help you out. We can offer your church a consultation. We can help you in some of your staff searches to create a process that will help you out, or we're also available for some coaching. So anything we can do to help your church endure, that's why we're here, because we want you and your church to endure. So thanks for joining us on this episode of the Enduring Churches podcast. We call this one Need a Map, and I hope that will help you vision through 2020, and we look forward to catching you on our next episode when we talk about accountability.